Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
So the question I have for you is, who are you? Who are you? Who in the world are you? How you answer that question determines the path you will walk on. Who are you? What you believe the answer to be will shape the trajectory of your life. Who are you? I'm going to tell you who you are. To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Who are you? You are his kids. Get your friendly finger out, point to your neighbor and say, you are his kid. I got five of them there, kids. Three of them are sitting right here. One of them, Max, is a recent graduate of the first round of driver's education. Yeah. Now, here's what you need to know about driver's education. It is not a cheap endeavor for a parent to pay. I'm happy to pay it because he's my kid. I'm excited that he gets to learn to drive. I was so excited that I actually, while we were driving the other day, I gave him my credit card and I taught him how to pay at the pump with my credit card. Here's what I'm not doing. Your kid ain't touching my credit card. But he will, because he's my kid. And speaking of that credit card, my older son Jake and his awesome girlfriend Olivia, they had prom a couple weeks ago. And I said to Jake, I said, Jake, man, I love you and Olivia, and I just want to bless you guys. Here's my credit card. Please pay for dinner on me and your mom. We want to bless you. Here's what your kid's not doing. Your kid ain't touching my credit card. But he can, because he's my kid. And then there's Zeke, who turned 13 a couple Thursdays ago. What I did on his 13th birthday is I called about eight of my friends, godly men, men who are just real dudes who love Jesus. And I said, hey, we're going to meet Zeke at Hibachi Sushi Buffet because it's the best restaurant in Kalamazoo, right, Zeke? And I said, now, Zeke doesn't know we're going to do this, but I want you guys to come, and I want you just to pour into him some words of wisdom, some words of affirmation. And they all showed up. I took him out of school. He walked in. He's like, what are you all doing here? And they said, sit down, eat. We're going to talk to you. When that bill came, I happily busted out my credit card to pay for his birthday lunch. My older men poured into him because he's my kid. You know what I'm not doing for your kid? I ain't buying your kid lunch. And then we got a couple girls who are up with Grandma and Grandpa this weekend. My daughter, Reese, loves watching the NBA playoffs with me. Hallelujah, I've trained her right. Late at night, sitting in my chair, because I often will DVR these things, you know, when the day's done, we'll watch them later. I'm sitting there in my lazy boy with my big screen TV with a cute girl on my lap. And she's kind of a long girl, but she's just on my lap and just hanging out there. And we just talk. Well, quite frankly, she does the talking, and I just like, yeah. But I love it. She's my daughter. Your kid is not sitting on my lap watching the NBA playoffs with me. It's not going to happen. And then our youngest daughter, Elise, who actually turns 8 today, is her birthday. It was about 4 or 5 months ago. She was home under one of the brothers' babysitting care, and she got one of those brushes that are round, have like, you know, spike. And she started doing this with her hair. One of the brothers was slacking in their duties. And so when I got home, that thing was jammed in there. There was no way it was coming out. And she was bawling, convinced she was going to be as bald as her dad. So I sat her on my lap, and we took about an hour and a half, and we got it out. Here's what I'm not doing for your kid. I'm not doing that for your kid. That was a long and painful process, and the compassion bucket I had was dumped on her. I didn't have much compassion for anybody else at the end of that night, but I had enough for her because she's my kid. I'm not doing that for your kid. That's your problem if your kid gets in that situation. My kids. You know, but being my kid certainly comes with some privileges, but you know what else it comes with? It comes with another thing. Being my kid comes with another thing. Every one of my kids, I won't make eye contact with any of them now so they're not embarrassed, they're not seated right here. Every one of them this week, every one of them, all five of them, has needed some form of correction, discipline, or directional adjustment. See, because when dad's involved, sometimes there's correction, and I know you've been in trouble too, right, and you've had to get correction. Is this true? Somebody say, it's true. And I know you believe what the author of Hebrews would say when he says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. Somebody say, amen. But painful, yeah. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Or as the author of Proverbs would say in 13, verse 24, whoever spares the rod hates the children. But the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. So here's the thing. To be my kid means you get some blessings. You get the credit card. You get the time with me. You get the compassion. But you also get the correction. Here's what I'm not doing for your kids. I'm not correcting your kids. Well, that's not true. I might. If your kid goes nuts in the middle of my teaching in the service, I might be like, hey, kid, come on, chill out. But for the most part, I'm not here to discipline your kids, because they're your kids and they're not my kids. Who are you? Do you know who you are? I'm not overstating it. I'm not being hyperbolic. I'm not being sensational when I say that how you answer that question shapes the path that you will walk on. And what you believe that answer to be sets you on a trajectory either for good or for bad. Who are you? I'm going to tell you right now that you are his kids. To all who did receive, somebody say receive. To all who did receive him, to those who believed, somebody say believed. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You are a child of God. Remember that driver's education class that was paid for? I want to tell you that it's paid for you too. Not your driver's education class. Some of you need a remedial course. I'm talking about this. The author of Romans, Paul, would say, for the wages of sin is death. And I don't need to really convince you that your stupidity, your sinfulness, your knuckleheaded status comes with some death to it, doesn't it? I mean, nobody's ever gone off and done just horrible, dumb things for their whole life and said, man, I feel so alive. It might feel alive for a minute, but sooner or later, when you live a sinful life, you're just going to feel crappy about yourself. It's what the Apostle Paul says, the wages of sin is death. But I want to tell you, because you're his kid, if you've received and believed, it is paid for, because the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. I want to tell you, if you've received and believed, it's paid for. Now, you're acting too Caucasian when I say that, people, because I just told you that your sinfulness, which deserves your death and which leads to death in life right now, it's paid for. And this is good news. And if you think it's good news, at least tell your face it's good news and smile about it, because he paid for your sinfulness. And you don't have to pay for your sinfulness, because you're his kid if you've received and believed. Somebody say if. It's a big if right there. If you've received and believed, it's paid for. And maybe some of you have been playing the church game, but you've never received Jesus. And maybe today is the day that you say, I'm going to receive him, so that you can walk out of here debt-free from your sin. Somebody say, today's a good day to receive the one who paid it all. It's paid for. And then I'm thinking of Jake getting that credit card. You see, you can't use my credit card. If you use my credit card, you go to jail. Because I haven't given you the authority to use my credit card, but he has the authority to use my credit card. In fact, you know, it's not just a prom dinner. I have no problems giving him the credit card to go to the store. In fact, we were watching the UFC fights last night, and we ran out of Mountain Dew. Somebody say, gasp. So I said, Jake, go, my son. I have no problem giving him the credit card because he has the authority that I have given him to use it. But if you took my credit card, I'd be like, hey, this guy stole my credit card. But the Son has the authority. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 1, he called his disciples, his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority. Say, gave them authority. What did he give them authority to do? Jesus gave them authority, like I gave him authority to use. He gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. He gave them authority to do what he was doing. Jake has authority to use my credit card because I've given him the authority. You, as his kid, have the authority to do what Jesus was doing. And then Jesus would say, this is shocking to me. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Whoever believes in me, Jesus said, will do the works I have been doing. Have you read the works that Jesus did? This is crazy stuff. And they will do even greater things than these. Jesus healed people left and right. And he's saying, hey, if you believe in me, you can do this too because I have given you authority. And so some of you wonder why we pray for people who are sick, people who need healing, because we've been given the authority to do it. Some of you wonder, well, you prayed for me that once and it didn't happen. Here's the answer. I don't know. I don't know. But I know that we're going to keep swinging at that prayer pitch. Because we've been given authority. Now, we do live in two worlds in conflict, right? And sometimes the things of the world will seem to win the battle, but I'll tell you what, the war is already won, so we're going to call forth the winning war and enter into the battle, and sometimes we're going to see some amazing things. Let me tell you my story. You've heard this before. I'm going to share it just because I ran to work today, 4.5 miles. I do it almost every single Sunday. I'm really slow. Don't be too impressed. I'm not doing that for that. Almost every Sunday but two this year, I've run to church before the service starts. When I was 30, I'm now just about 44. The orthopedic doctor looked at me, looked at the degenerative arthritis in both knees and ankles because I've torn my ACL 3 times and broken my ankles 6 times. And they said, man, you better take up shuffleboard. You're not going to be running anymore. But then this whole concept of authority and doing things that Jesus did came to my mind. And so I had the church pray for me years ago when we were over on Lake Street, when we were very new. And the first time the church prayed for me, absolutely nothing happened. But I remembered the story of the persistent widow who kept going back and back. So the next week I had the church pray for me again and nothing happened. And then that third time I said, church, you got to pray for me. We got to be like that persistent widow. But something happened in my body that kind of healed things up. And now I can run very slow, but I can run. Because the authority to do the things Jesus did has been given to his kids. How many of you are feeling sick today? Stand up. We'll pray for you. Nobody's sick today? Nobody's got a, there's one honest person. Thank you. Anybody got a physical ailment, a knee, an ankle, a back, a neck thing, carpal tunnel? Anybody feeling sick of any kind? Well, Jesus had you in mind when he gave the authority to the disciples. Are there any disciples in the house? Then by way of principle, you've got the authority. I want you now, if you are a disciple of Jesus and you know these people, to put your hand on them. If you don't know them, don't touch them because creepy. It's creepy to have strangers touch you. But I'll tell you what, I want you, everybody else. Do you see these people standing? Yes. We're going to take a time out of the sermon because we're going to let you take dad's credit card and do some work. Everybody else stand up. If you're a visitor, you don't have to do this. If you're a visitor, just relax, stretch it out. If you're not a visitor, if this is your church home, go find somebody and pray for them right now. I'm going to give you about a minute to do this. Pray right now. Do we have any spontaneous, James, like prayer for people music? I know off the cuff, I'm putting you on the spot. Just pray for these people. Ask dad's credit card to do some work. So Lord, we believe that analogy to be very accurate, that just like a son can take the father's credit card, we can take the authority that Jesus has given us and write checks and charge things that only heaven can back up. So in the name of Jesus, we pray that the kingdom would come all over these bodies. Church, would you say, kingdom come. Your will be done in these bodies as it is in heaven. Amen. Have a seat. So I have five kids. I was happy to pay it all for the one. I was happy to give the authority to the other. And then for the one who turned 13, I was happy to celebrate when he turned 13, because that's what a dad does for his kids. There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. Somebody say rejoicing. Somebody say in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There's rejoicing when one person comes to God. See, there's kind of a qualifying bit about this sentence. If you receive him and if you believed in him, then he gave you the right to be his children. And if you do those two things, the receive and believe in God, is so nice to make them rhyme for you to remember. If you receive and you believe, the parties in heaven will be great for you. And so I know there are people here who have not received and believed. We exist for you. We don't exist to tend to those of us who received and believed a long time ago. In fact, if that's your mentality of what church is, to care for me as one who's received and believed a long time ago, you're missing the point of the church. The church was never meant to tend to the 99 who are already in. The church was meant to go after the one who is lost, who doesn't know the peace and the joy of Jesus. And so today, maybe somebody needs to say, you know what? I need to get a party going in heaven for me. So all you got to do is just receive. If you want to receive Jesus, and all of you, if you've received him, do it again. If you want to do it for the first time, say, I receive you, Jesus. And I believe you, Jesus. And if you did that for the first time today, I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven who calls himself your daddy, and he's partying with the angels. I've got some girls. I like to spend time with the girls watching NBA, right? There's something about dad and a daughter, just quality time. Somebody put your right hand up in the air and say, hello, me. Put your left hand up and say, hello, God. See, here's what it's all about. Boom! It's about you and the Father being intimate. Jesus didn't come to create a religious movement where you sit in church for an hour and stare at bald people. This is all about your intimacy with him. Jesus would tell his disciples in the Gospel of Mark, come away with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest. The images of a father and a child just relaxing and doing the thing they love together. And so there's a good word for some of you who are so busy with life that you can't take any time to just be with the Father. You're his kid. And he wants to be with you. No, some of you have said, you know, I just don't feel the whole God thing. You know, I'm not feeling much. Yeah. But I wonder if you look at your life, if you're putting yourself in a situation where you can actually encounter that which is good by way of feeling. You can't show up to a marathon on race day and expect to feel it. You got to put the work in to get there. And so if you're not feeling it, maybe it's because your intimacy is lacking. And I'll tell you, if it's lacking, it's not because God doesn't want it. It's because you've chosen not to do it. So you're his kids, and a million, billion times more than I like being with my kids, he likes being with you, his kids. Just give him some time. You're his kids. And then that story of compassion where I set my daughter in my lap and tried to unsnarl her hair and held her while she cried, and she was just shaking for an hour because it was so painful. And I just held her and said, honey, we're going to get this. Now, if that was your kid, I wouldn't be as compassionate. I'd be like, ah, oh, look at that. But my girl, I'm like, she has compassion for me because that was awful. A poor little girl. There's a Father in heaven who has compassion for you. This is from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Some of you are in the midst of your own hair snarl. And life is not fun, and you're just shaking with the pain of it all. I want you to know that there's a Father in heaven who looks at you and says, you're my kid. Come here. And we'll take care of this. Who are you? You're his kids. Turn to your neighbor, friendly finger, say, you are his kids. That's who you are. And it comes with the blessings that I've just taught on. But it also comes with another thing. Some of you are like, well, why did you stop right there? It's already seven after. We're good. But if I were to stop right there, I wouldn't be filling out the fullness of what it means to be his kids, because there's another thing beyond the blessings. And it's the correction, the discipline, and the directional change. Now, let me just talk to you a little bit as I talk to you about the Father who wants to correct you. Get your friendly finger out and kind of get your mildly empathetic face going. Empathy means, you know, I've been there, I understand a little. You need some discipline from time to time. Tell them, you need some discipline. You do. And here's the thing. I need to make a distinction. Elbow your neighbor and say, get smart. There's a distinction between conviction. Stop mumbling. This is important. And condemnation. You see, the discipline of the Lord brings conviction. I'm convicted. That's wrong. I've got to change. That's what the Lord does. Condemnation brings shame and sorrow. I'm a loser. I'm a failure at life. I stink. I always do this. God's about conviction and change. And he's not about condemnation and shame. This is what the Apostle Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 7 about that. He would say, godly sorrow brings repentance. That's conviction. Man, I feel bad that I did this thing. I'm convicted I should not do this anymore. I'm repenting, which means going in the other way. I'm done. Conviction is good. Say it. Conviction is good. But the Apostle Paul would continue. He would say, but worldly sorrow brings death. That's that condemnation that mean teacher, that awful coach, that one person who just was in your face. That's not what God wants. He wants your conviction to bring change. And let me remind you that no discipline seems pleasant at the time. It seems painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Or in Deuteronomy, we read this, chapter 8, verse 5. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. Some of our go-to stories, some of our heroes of the church, the woman caught in adultery, right? She was caught in a sinful thing, and the world wanted to condemn her. But Jesus didn't condemn her. He brought conviction, but the first conviction wasn't to her. It was to the religious people who wanted to condemn her. And the first conviction in the story is that we all are knuckleheads and sinful. Jesus was kind of saying what I say in my way. If you got a pulse, you're an idiot sometimes. So he brought conviction to them, and then he turned to her, and he brought grace to her, but he also brought conviction when he said, go sin no more. It wasn't just, oh, hey, I love you. Therefore, do whatever you want. Continue to be the adulterous woman. Let that define you. That would be poor parenting. The conviction that Jesus brought was in love and in grace. He said, I don't condemn you, but go sin no more. Conviction. And then that woman at the well, one of the women we hold up all the time, you know, Jesus came to her and he didn't skirt around the issues. Go get your husband. I don't have a husband, she said. This is John 4. And he said, oh, that's awkward. Well, nice day today, isn't it? He went after her and he said, that's right, you don't have a husband. You've had five and the guy you're living with now is not your husband. He brought conviction. He wasn't afraid to walk into the sinful places of the life of people. And in walking into that sinful place, he brought conviction, not condemnation. And very soon after that, she became maybe, arguably, the first Christian evangelist and converted her whole city to Jesus. Because the conviction of Jesus didn't bring shame, it brought change. And when the change came, something happened in her life. There's another thing to the blessings, and it's discipline. Here's the deal. Some of you know you're living in sin right now. Some of you have been trying to justify it, saying, well, it's not that big of a deal. I'm not as bad as that person. I'm not doing that thing. You know, it's just okay. And I'm telling you, the Lord wants to discipline you and change that effort because when you live in sin, you miss out on the blessings. But when you let the conviction of the Lord settle in on you, it might seem painful now, but I'm telling you what, righteousness will come and peace will come and joy will come. And so some of you need to know that you're his kids and he wants to discipline you today. And he's saying, stop it. Cut it out. Enough. Sin no more. You're his kids. Do you know who you are? Who are you? You're his kids. Who are you? You're unique and you're awesome. Who are you? You are creation's crown. Who are you? I have one more week to tell you who you are.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.